I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics' viral tubing mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS. .com/thrive for 20% off your first order.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Hi, I'm Keegan.
And I'm Megan.
And you're listening to
Your Angry Neighborhood Feminist.
This is a podcast where we explore the world through our own personal feminist perspectives.
And we getting spooky, everybody.
We're getting spooky. Ooh. So this week, you know, I found this topic whenever I was doing my prep for our episode on anti-Asian racism.
Uh-huh.
And I was kind of like looking on Instagram for some things. And this Instagram account, I think, was just featuring kind of things to do with like
spookiness
Asian folklore.
Okay, cool.
And this came up and it was something that I had never heard of before. So I saved it to my Instagram for something like to reference later. And so I'm so surprised that I remembered in October, because I sent it to you. I was like, let's do this like for spooky season, you know, kind of highlight this creature.
Spooky female creature.
Right. And so we are going to be talking today about the churl, but also we're going to be talking a little bit about kind of like female mythological creatures and monsters just in general. I think that this would be really fun to do, to kind of like spotlight different ones.
Yeah,
I think episodes.
Yeah, with the churl and some of the other ones we're going to talk about, a lot of them are like shapeshifters. They have a lot of very similar traits and features and stories, because I'm sure many different cultures have like a very similar image and tale, but they have different specifics and folklore behind them. So they do have their differences in names and appearances and things like that. But a lot of them do kind of go along the same line as the churl.
Yeah. And I think that that's really interesting, because what does that say about society as a whole and the way it views women?
Yeah.
And at the end of this episode, I'm going to talk a little bit about that, because I found a really great Smithsonian article kind of asking that question, like, why are so many mythological monsters in like folklore?
Yeah.
Why are they women or female presenting?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and you know what's interesting to me is when we think about these stories as well, and we're going to get into it with the churl, who is, you know, an evil, ugly monster who can transform themselves into something beautiful to, you know, lure men and things like that. And it actually made me think a lot of the story of Adam and Eve, even. Like, I feel like there's so many instances where it's like the woman is the cause for the man's
downfall
and things like that.
And it also speaks to, you know, all of these kind of mythological creatures and these tales that like span cultures, like span miles and oceans, right?
Yeah.
It speaks to this idea that women are inherently deceptive,
right? Yes.
And I think that that still lasts to this day.
Well, I think I really believe that this is probably where we get that femme fatale, you know, trope, because it's kind of this, you know, beautiful, alluring woman who's actually going to kill you or, you know, take all your money. And like, it is like we've just evolved this trope into something else, you know?
Right.
But let's talk a little bit about the churl, shall we?
Let's do it. So the legend of the churl reportedly started in Persia, where they described it as being the spirit of a young woman who has died with, quote, grossly unsatisfied desires, but is currently most prominent in South Asia, specifically in India, Pakistan, and Bangladesh. So she's said to be the ghost of a wronged woman, usually one who dies during or just after childbirth.
I also read that some believe it's like during menstruation, or whether or not they died a violent death at the hands of another man.
Right. Yes. Yes. Yeah. So the woman can come back as a churl if she was mistreated by relatives, specifically her husband or in-laws, during her lifetime. And then there are also, because, you know, this story, this folklore, this legend kind of evolved, you know, depending on where you're at.
Yeah.
It kind of changes, you know, a little bit. And so some also say that she can return as a churl if she died sexually dissatisfied.
Ooh.
Which I think is a very interesting take on the legend, right?
That's a very interesting take. Does that mean that like she was horny at the moment and didn't get it? Or does that mean like she was horny all her life and never got it?
I think that that's kind of what it is. Like,
oh,
it's like,
that's,
you know,
sad.
Because we don't prioritize women's sexual desires.
No.
And when you look at
men, please, yo ladies, or else she's going to come back and haunt your ass.
Well, you know, I really do feel, and it's so, it's kind of sad because a lot of people say that the moral to the story was that you need to treat your wives or
daughters,
your daughter-in-laws
well,
especially during their pregnancies, because you don't want them to die and come back as a churl. And I'm like, that is such a bummer that you have to have this mythology built around like treating people
smart.
Well.
I think it's like a part of me wants to believe that there was some woman out there that created this folklore to scare men into treating women well.
Yes, that is a theory that people have because
like,
we don't
legit
know where it came from.
Yeah, because I'm like, there is a lot of good, I guess, that comes from this theory, because as it is now, it was even worse than the violence against women and things like that.
Right.
So it really is quite smart to create this fear around mistreating women.
Or sexually dissatisfying your
or
woman.
Or sexually dissatisfying
know.
Them.
Keep
like,
her satisfied.
Eat
okay.
her. Right. let's talk about her appearance a little bit, because this was probably one of the most enjoyable parts of my research. They say that she is described as an extremely ugly but able to shapeshift and disguise herself as a beautiful woman to lure men into the woods, where she either kills him or sucks up their life force. Their toes are said to be turned the other way around. So she has like inverted feet. They're pointed mm-hmm. backwards.
Yep.
She's got like a big distended belly, saggy breasts, bad breath, black tongue, long hair, red eyes, scraggly eyebrows. Like there's this list of like the ugliest traits that you can think of, and that's what she is.
You know,
it's
so
funny.
Interesting to me, because it really does feel like these myths are built so much out of like your fear of ugliness and your fear of beauty. Like, just say you fear women and go.
And then,
because
and
it's just like you're afraid of them being like hideous, ugly monsters, but you're also like them being beautiful is also something to be feared. Like, they can't be too pretty because maybe that's a monster in disguise.
Well, you know? That's the thing, because this ugly churl turns into this like beautiful woman, or even in some stories turns into like a, you know, like beautiful young child, like young girl who looks very innocent and in need of help and things like that,
which is also creepy to me.
It's super creepy. Mm-hmm. And I wanted, because there's a story about that made me think, I was like, I wonder what the context
that
of man that
deserved
is.
It
I'm right?
like, if a little girl is able to like
I need help and a man is like, let me help you, little girl. I'm going to get to the story that I wrote, or not that I wrote, but that I wrote down in my notes that I found online a little bit later, where a churl is a young girl that appears. So it kind of depends on, I guess, what the men, would find alluring in some way. It's whatever would draw a man toward them. So, you know, they live in the woods, and I was reading that in a lot of like Pakistani culture, they're saying that like in the Himalayan mountains and these certain mountain peaks are like the most haunted by the churl, and like tourists go in and never come out and like that kind of thing.
And I think me and the churl could kick it. Let me tell you.
For
I think
real.
New BFF.
We could like get a cabin in the woods where we just like wait for men, drain their life forces, live forever. Why not?
Yeah. I mean, very hocus pocus of you.
Oh my God. Hocus pocus. I'm so excited to watch that movie this year.
And, you know, in Pakistan as well, the legend also adds that the churl cannot change her feet, which mm-hmm. also was something that was interesting to me, because that's another thing that occurred. Like, there is also this folklore about a deer woman yes. in a lot of Native American culture. And it's kind of similar, where the deer can take the form of this beautiful woman and kind of like put men in this trance where they will like wither away and die just to stay with you in the forest.
Yeah.
But she can't change her feet, so she yeah. still has hooves. And so it's very similar to this one, where she can't change her feet, so she's this beautiful woman, but so beautiful is this woman that you don't notice that her feet are pointed the opposite direction.
Yeah, and that's typically, like, in the stories that I was reading, it's kind of like the witches tell before she takes you. She's like, but you didn't notice this. And yeah. then you see the feet, and the men are like, oh, it's a churl, run! That's what I'm imagining.
Yes. Okay. I just feel like there's so much about this mythology, this particular one, where I'm like, I feel like maybe y'all kind of deserved it. I don't know. Not to victim shame, but I'm just like, the husband?
Yeah.
Like, what did you do?
What did you do? What did you do?
What did you do to this woman?
Oh, and some say she has a pig face or a long tusk or sharp tusks.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know where those come from, but that was all on the Wikipedia. They were giving me this long list.
I will say the images that come up are all over the map.
Like, oh, really?
They yeah. are really all over the map.
But all of them have backward feet. Across the board, they all have backward feet.
Yeah,
in my research.
I saw one where they didn't. Like, the most common one that I usually see, they're not backwards, but they are like, they're like big with like really sharp, talony, like
yeah,
toenails.
Like bird feet.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. So in West Bengal and Bangladesh culture, she also wears bangles made of shell, which signifies that she is a married woman. And I found that to be really interesting, because unlike other cultures like mythology and folklore that are similar to this,
yeah.
Usually those are like virginal young maidens,
yeah.
right? This is specifically a vengeful wife. Right, which is unusual. Like, I do
very unusual.
I
yeah,
think that that's kind of unusual, that a spirit will come back or haunt or lure men, and is like a very like sexual spirit.
It's
right?
not thought of as being a wife or mother. Like, that's yeah. not as sexy to think about, I guess.
Yeah, because in a lot of, you know, European cultures, I feel like it's very much about this like young virginal. Pure
totally.
Maiden, or like that's what they're tricking you
but
into
maybe,
believing it is.
Yeah, but maybe that's even scarier, that it's like this wife.
Oh, she, because you know she's pissed.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that would make me even more scared.
Yeah.
But I love that there's like a very distinctive like necklace that's worn, so you know, like that she's here to fuck up a husband.
Yeah,
right
they're bangle bracelets, but
oh,
yeah,
bracelets.
made out of shell.
Ooh, and I bet that they like clang and clang as they walk. So it's like,
oh, yeah. extra scary.
That's the first thing the husband hears.
Yep.
It's dark. He's sleeping.
You know she coming.
You hear the little,
yeah, she coming.
She coming.
Should have been nice to her. They often appear around places of death, such as graveyards, tombs, and battlefields, but they can also appear in places of squalor, which I think that this is likely a nod to the fact that the churl is often, and in some cultures, is exclusively seen as someone who was lower class.
Yes.
So of a lower like caste, those are the women who are going to come back as churls. If you're like kind of like in an upper class, you are not likely to come back as a churl.
Right.
Which I think is interesting. Like, what does that say about class? Like, I
yeah,
think so
do,
many
do,
of these things.
Do the higher class think that they don't mistreat their women, therefore their women wouldn't come back as churls, but they're saying that
probably.
The lower class are so barbaric that they would come back mm-hmm. as these monsters.
And that they need these kind of folklores
to keep them in line.
Yeah, to keep
yeah.
them in line.
I was reading that specifically one was talking about a churl coming back in a toilet.
Yes. Yeah.
Which reminds me of Moaning Myrtle from Harry Potter.
Although I think when they say toilet, they don't mean specifically like the toilet
basin. It's not like a white porcelain toilet, but in my head, that's what I'm picturing. Like I'm picturing like just
public
the face.
Bathroom. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It was just a hole in the ground at that point.
So when the churl first returns, she goes first to the men in her family who have mistreated her, starting with the youngest. So she's got a list. She's got a Kill Bill list.
Which I think is crazy that she starts with the youngest.
You'd think she'd start with her husband.
Right, the one that hurt you the most. Yeah. But maybe I also think that there is, and I don't know if it's really stated in any of the research that you got. I don't remember reading anything like this. But the fact that she's drinking their life force, like I wonder if there is this like eternal youth kind of thing going on with it as well, where like maybe going for the youngest first is going to help her stay like vital and young. I don't know.
I don't know. I didn't read that anywhere, but I did read that some cultures believe that the churl, like, okay, so she starts with the youngest man in her family, then will move through. And then once she drains the blood of all of the men in her family, she will move on to other targets.
And yeah, she'll like go to the next household and do it all over again.
Right. Or specifically will seek out mostly men, usually. But in some cultures, they believe that it's young men. So kind of like inexperienced, like
gullible.
Yeah. Like young men.
Horny.
And suck. Yes, exactly. That's exactly it.
Yeah.
It's just like more susceptible
and
to.
And suck what? I'm sorry, what?
Well, you know what? Let me tell you this though. Because there are some.
I bet.
That say, like, I did read.
Oh my God, what'd you read?
Sometimes they sustain on blood and sometimes semen. So.
Men would love that. Any like douche bro would be like, yeah, you can live off of
sustain your life force.
Yeah, oh, I'm sustaining it. You can just eat my semen. It's fine.
But I do wonder if there's something to that in terms of like seeking out. Do they seek out young, inexperienced men because it is easier because their sex drive is higher? Or is there an element of like fresh blood, you know, like young blood?
Is it stopping them from being able to turn into horrible older men that will treat their wives badly?
Well, there are some cultures that believe that they don't die in the woods, because sometimes they're like, okay, you're going to be trapped by her because you're so seduced by her that you will never leave the woods and you will wither away and die out there.
Yeah.
Some say that they return to their village as old men.
Old men. Like they'll say like they're going to suck just enough of the life force out that they still survive, but they have to like go back to their families as these old men when they might have been 19.
Yeah. You know? And maybe that is why. Maybe it's just like, look, we're gonna fast forward through all the shitty years, whenever you can do the most damage to women, and we're gonna send you back when you're old and less likely to do harm. I don't know.
So deep. So deep. I knew we were gonna have fun with this. I knew we were. Yeah.
And I also do wanna say, like, there actually isn't a whole lot out there.
No,
there aren't a ton of articles.
There's very few articles, and like a lot of the stuff that I got was from like super random websites with lots of pop-ups and things like that that I tried to stay off of for the most part.
Yeah, I tried to, because sometimes if I can't find a lot of articles, I'll go to YouTube because I'm like, I bet you somebody is putting their makeup on and talking about the churl. But no, like there really wasn't anything on YouTube either. So I say all that to say, if it sounds like we're being speculative about things, that's why. It's because we're taking
knew. Part of folklore too, like there isn't always like a lot of answers. It's left up to each person's interpretation of things, which is what makes it so fun as well.
Yes, indeed. According to Persian legend, when travelers saw the tracks of a churl in the dirt, they would try to flee by heading in the opposite direction. But as we already said, the churl has reversed feet. Mm-hmm. So it would lead them directly to the churl, which I was like, oh, genius, right? Because that's what you would do. You're like, oh, those are some churl feet. Those are churl tracks. I'm going to run the other way.
Yeah.
But the other way is exactly where she is. Yeah.
Tricky, tricky.
So where did the churl come from, right? We don't know. Because it's kind of this folklore, urban legend sort of thing throughout this entire region. So outside of knowing that it likely started in Persia, we really don't know. We don't know if this was whose creation this was.
Right.
And like you said, a lot of people like to speculate that this was created by women.
Yeah. You know? I mean, I picture like an old grandmotherly woman telling these tales to, you know, the young children around her to like scare them off and things like that. Like, to me, it seems very like old wise woman tale-esque.
Well, yeah. And an old wives woman tale to protect pregnant women.
Yeah.
Because I feel like in so many cultures, and I'm sure that a lot of these cultures are no different, throughout most of time, women have been considered not only second class citizens, but also basically incubators, right?
Yeah.
Baby making machines.
Yeah.
And so it's really kind of great that there's this thing in place that's to protect pregnant women.
Yeah.
You know, and wives and mothers. And it sucks that it has, that this has to exist for that reason. Like, yeah. It sucks that we can't just trust people, trust, or just like husbands and men in general.
Yeah, to and just like not be to shitty. Be nice. But yeah. We can't. We cannot trust it.
Unfortunately, we need to create a demon who will come back and suck all the life out of your body.
Every time you say suck, you pause afterwards.
And you think I'm going to say something else.
I mean, I don't think you're going to. I just want you to.
So I kind of love it. I know that like when you look at the images of this, right, she's supposed to be this like evil demon.
Right.
You're supposed to think that this is a scary, evil woman.
Yeah.
But I actually think she might be like the patron saint of married women.
Oh, you know? For real. For real. I did read one article where it was just like one woman's blog post where she was talking about her thoughts on the churl, and she made the argument that the churl is a feminist hero. And I think that
feminist
that's,
icon. Yeah.
Yeah, for real. Like, because before, you know, there were PSAs you could see on TV and anything like that, word of mouth in these stories was the best way to be able to get word spread and things like that. And I think that the fact that this is such an ancient story that has that is like lived on till now is so unbelievably amazing.
Right. And I also think that there's something kind of cool about a woman who likely wasn't able to advocate for herself.
Yeah.
Or have the same rights as the men in her life, and yeah, maybe the men who mistreated her in her life, is able to come back and like petition for herself and advocate for herself and have agency and control.
Yeah. That she couldn't have when herself, she was alive.
Right. And
yeah,
like, yes, of course she's a murderer. We get it. Okay. Like, not great to suck the life like, force out of schoolboys. Right.
We're not advocating murder.
Yeah.
But
we're not saying murder good, but we are saying like, there is a through line, I think, in a lot of these mythological stories that is very scary for men, because they see a woman who now has power and control. And usually that is stemming from vengeance.
Yep.
Like revenge. And that is the most terrifying thing.
Yeah.
That a man, at, you know, in a time period where women were actively being oppressed.
Yeah.
Could come up with, could
I
think
know.
Of. You know?
I cannot imagine a man coming up with this. I can't.
This one, well, you know, I'm kind of two minds on it, because I like to believe that women came up with this for their own protection.
Right.
Which maybe that's true. Maybe it's some mix of both, because I can also fully believe that men are so terrified of this particular brand of demon.
Right.
So maybe it was a story that was originally concocted by women as a means of protection that was then kind of co-opted by men, and oh, now she has saggy boobs and a big stomach and a sharp teeth and,
yeah,
you know, like all of these other things.
Like, well, and I'm sure it's evolved through time too. Like, I really wish that this was more documented, because I'm sure as time has gone on, it's evolved and changed into different things as well. So it'd be interesting what the original story was.
Yeah.
And maybe how it was changed.
Yeah. And we'll never know.
We'll never know.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm. As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
So there are lots of mythical women like this throughout history and culture. So
yeah, I actually really quick wanted to talk about one that I think is kind of one and the same.
Yeah, all right.
And it was what I messaged you about earlier, and I think it's pronounced Pico Perry.
Oh, it is the same. So I did see this in an article where it's kind of another word for the churl in a different region.
That's what I thought, because everything that it was saying was exactly the same. Even similar area, but like you said, just different region. And this is where I have a story behind the Pico Peri. Oh, and fun fact, Pico Peri came from Pico Peri, which literally means back-footed in the Hindi Urdu languages. Mm-hmm. Very cool. So in one story, there is a 35-year-old man who was returning home from his shop late on a bleak night. He was riding a motorcycle and had to pass through the forest to get to his house. Just before entering the woods, he saw a beautiful young girl crying. He stopped the bike and asked her why she was crying. The girl said she was lost in the forest, and now that she made it out, she didn't know how to get home. To assure the child, the man offered for her to stay at his house for the night, and that he would help her find her house in the morning. The girl agreed. While riding with the girl through the forest, another woman suddenly popped up in front of the bike. He stopped and turned around to check on the girl, but she was gone. Mm. He immediately suspected the Pico Peri. He asked the woman if she had seen a Pico Peri girl on his bike, and the woman responded, "What is a Pico Peri?" He told her, "A back-footed woman ghost who can disguise as everything." She replied, "Oh, like this?" And uncovered her feet, which were pointed backward.
Wow. Wow.
Right? But that's what I was saying. So there's this story where it was like this young girl, he stops. And I think it's like that whole story was interesting to me because it was like he was willing to take this young girl. He's like, "I'm going to take you back to my house and then take you back to your place in the morning."
Yeah, I feel instead like it's bad intentions. Exactly. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's not what's being said here. Like, what we're supposed to think is like, oh, he's just being a nice guy. Like,
yes.
He's just protecting this little girl, making sure nothing bad happens to her.
Nope.
But I'm like, uh-uh. Like,
if you have a motorcycle, you can find her home tonight. You don't have to do it tomorrow morning.
I like to believe that the churl or the Pico Peri knows your intentions, like,
right?
I
and
like
that's to believe- why she switched mm-hmm. and came out in front of him to stop the motorcycle and then scared the pants off of him by being like, "It was actually me." You know,
I like that interpretation. Like, I like to believe that they can see your heart and that they seek out men who are intent on doing harm.
Yeah, have bad intentions.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, especially with that story being of a young girl, I was like, ooh.
Yeah.
Creepy.
It's suspicious.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just like, man, I know, I get it. It's like, oh, let's go find your mom and dad. But I'm like, I don't feel that way. And in some of the other things I read, it wasn't phrased that way. Like, it very much felt like if the churl appears to you as a little girl, that your intentions are fucked. Like, I'm just like, you have
exactly
intentions that I think are unsavory.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Well, okay? Because that's the thing, is it's like there's this idea that she appears to whatever that specific man's allure is or desire is in some way. And for some men, unfortunately, it was quote unquote beautiful young girls.
Sketch.
Super sketch.
So let's talk about some of these other kind of creatures throughout history.
Let's do it.
Let's talk about what it says or what they say about patriarchy and society's expectations of and perceptions of women, because there's a reason why this stuff exists all over the world. Like, yeah. What are the chances? You know, like,
for
that
real.
Very similar kind of stories will exist all over. And so many of these stories share common themes, and oftentimes these creatures or monsters are the embodiment of female rage. Like, that's kind of the thing that you see. It's rage and vengeance, like, that you see kind of like over and over again.
Fuck yeah.
So the churl was mistreated in life by her husband and other male relatives. She returns to seek vengeance. In Greek mythology, you have Medusa, who was raped by Poseidon. And rather than her rapist being punished, she herself was transformed into a gorgon, which is a hideous, rageful monster with snakes for hair. And like the churl, many of these stories focus on supernatural beings whose natural form is scary or ugly or terrifying, but are able to transform themselves into beautiful women to seduce or lure in their prey.
Right.
And one that I found to be particularly terrifying is the Jurogumo from Japan.
Oh, yes. I was reading. It's like essentially like the ring, right?
No. So this is a giant spider.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Very scary. In Japanese culture, It's an ancient spider woman called Jorogumo.
Yep.
And she is a giant spider, but she's able to transform herself into a beautiful woman. And this I got from that Ranker article that you sent.
Yeah.
It's, quote, her job as she sees it is to attract men and lure them into her web, where she wraps them up in silk threads, poisons them, and then eats them, much like a regular spider eats its prey. When Jorogumo is feeling particularly festive, this is so upsetting.
I know.
She appears to men in her human form, as beautiful as ever, only this time she's carrying a sweet baby in her arms. Mm-hmm. She then approaches the man of her choice and asks him to hold the baby for her. Uh-huh. If the man obliges, he is in for a tremendous shock as the baby turns out to actually be a mass of thousands of spider eggs.
Yeah.
The eggs suddenly burst open, and in moments, the man
They're all over me.
Covered in tiny spiders.
They're all over me right now.
Horrible. And like the artwork, because, you know, it's like ancient, beautiful Japanese art.
Yeah.
It is a giant tarantula. It is so scary.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's my personal, like,
It's very terrifying. Ones that I liked were the night hags, which I said that was my nickname in college.
Night hag?
My last name is Haggerty.
Oh.
Night hags? I don't know. God. It was a joke that didn't land, but I wrote it in my notes. So there are variations of the night hag story that appear in different cultures around the world, which concern frightening and somewhat unexplainable experiences of sleep paralysis.
Oh, yeah.
And sleep paralysis is something for me that is especially terrifying. It's happened to me once, and it was the worst experience of my life.
Have
it
you
was
seen the
awful.
Documentary, The Nightmare?
No, but I want to.
Trigger warning if you've had sleep paralysis, because it is very scary, because it's all about sleep paralysis, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's funny because at the end of this little Ranker section, it says, of course, female spirits are typically blamed as the culprits, though some cultures do tell stories of male night hags as well as sexless hags.
A sexless hag.
It's always the woman who's like not pleased sexually that ends up creating the most mayhem, right?
I mean, yeah. What does that say about society?
Yeah. But let's talk for a second about the deer woman as well, because I think it's really similar to the churro,
yes.
But it's a little bit different because it comes from Eastern Native American cultures, particularly Cherokee, Choctaw, Muscogee, and Seminole tribes. Other American tribes also tell similar tales, some including a deer man rather than a deer woman. So the deer woman's purpose has to do primarily with fertility and the preparation for young people for the seriousness of marriage. So again, I think it's kind of like a way to like weed out the weaklings,
right.
Weed out the ones
you're
that are
testing them.
Yeah, that are mm-hmm. that have impure intentions and things like that. So again, this deer will appear to be a beautiful woman and will lure the man in. But instead of backwards feet, like we mentioned earlier, they have hooved feet like deer. But like we said, the men are so distracted by their beauty, they don't realize that they have hooved feet.
And another kind of similar thing to the churl is that in some churl folklore, she doesn't actually kill you. You just spend the rest of your days wasted away in the forest because
yeah.
you're so taken by her beauty and seduced by her beauty
that you can never get out.
Yeah. And that's kind of the same thing with the deer woman is
yeah.
that you might be trapped in the forest forever.
Yeah.
You know,
but it is just so fascinating that there's so many different iterations of the story where it's all based around men fearing women. It's a universal thing
yeah,
in the world.
Yeah. So another one that I think is very interesting and I think maybe worthy of their own episode. We could have an episode all about sirens and mermaids.
Oh, for real. Yes.
But sirens first appeared in the Iliad, and Odysseus and his men attempt to pass by an island where the sirens live, and their song is irresistible, and Odysseus has to tie himself to the mast of the ship to avoid sailing to the island shores, because if he did go to the island shores, he would be devoured by the sirens who live
right.
on the island.
I remember I've also heard with like siren stories that like they would lure like not pilots. Oh my God. Like ship captains into like really rough waters and things like that. Yeah. So like it would be like a mirage that you're actually seeing these beautiful women. But then when they get close, they realize that like they're actually going to die.
Yeah. The siren, I really feel like the siren mythology has changed so much over time because initially they weren't necessarily... It was their voices that were beautiful. And like, they were actually, they had like the head of a woman and the body of a bird. And then it has evolved into this almost like mermaid figure, right?
Well, I always like thinking about the mermaids that are in Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Two times mentioning Harry Potter. But, you know, it's like they're creepy looking. They're kind of human looking, but then they've got, you know,
big
like
webbed hands.
The webbed hands and almost like a webbed like head.
Yeah.
In a way, like they're just very creepy looking and they had that like high pitched scream and all that kind of stuff, which is kind of what I pictured that being as well.
It's very interesting the ways that it has evolved. And, you know, this is why I think maybe it should have its own episode, because when I was doing some reading on sirens, a lot of it changed revolving around like the Renaissance and like Christianity kind of changed our perception of what a siren was.
Yeah.
And because of Christianity, it kind of morphed more into this, beware the beautiful woman, right? Like, beware this, like, beautiful woman who's going to lead you to your doom.
Yeah.
So scary.
Just like Eve.
Banshees is another one.
I fucking love banshees.
Gotta love the banshee.
I love banshees. So my friends are having a Halloween party where it's, like, kind of a murder mystery thing, but we're all different monsters. And I really wanted to be the screaming banshee because I, like, feel it in my soul.
Yeah.
But it wasn't one of the couple options, so Max and I decided to do one of, like, the two-part, like, ones. But
surely there's, like, a he-banshee.
There wasn't. Like, that wasn't one of the options.
Oh, so you have to pick from a
list. It was, like, a list, yeah, because it was, like, a game that they, like, bought that they're going to do. It's, like, a whole thing, so it's already set up.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, bummer.
I know, because I saw that the banshee was available, and I'm like, yes.
Hell yeah, banshee.
Fuck yeah.
Lady that won't shut up. Amazing. Yeah. We love to see it.
Hi, have you met me?
We love to see it. So the banshee has the ability to shapeshift as well.
Yeah.
She usually appears as an old woman or a hag, which I don't like that. I don't like that term hag.
Hag-erty.
I understand. Like, it upsets me. I don't like it.
Is it because it's part of my last name that offends you for me?
I feel like I've heard it used as a derogatory term.
Yeah, like
term.
You old hag.
Yeah.
It's never a positive. You're never a beautiful like hag.
Too, yes. Which bothers me.
And only women nag.
Yeah. And I think it's maybe from like when we did our episode talking about witchcraft. It's kind of, this whole thing is very similar where like witches are either these like beautiful, alluring, sexy creatures who are going to like seduce you to your doom, or they're considered old hags.
And they've got long noses and warts on their nose. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm just offended.
I'm offended for hags everywhere.
So she does usually appear as an old hag,
but
she can transform into a young, beautiful woman in order to entrap her prey.
And that kind of also reminds me of the witch from Snow White.
Yes.
Who scared me more than anything in my entire life, that when she became the old woman, like it is kind of like that where she became the old woman, which is weird because the old woman is so creepy looking as a way to kind of endear herself to Snow White. It was kind of the opposite.
I'm like, no one has looked more terrifying in your entire life. Like,
I would never offer you to come into my home if you showed up like
that. Apple.
I don't know. She's a crazy bitch.
Listen, we did a whole episode.
We did a whole episode
on Snow White. She's the worst. Okay.
She is.
The worst. Yeah, I also feel like it is saying something about age and beauty, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, and it's putting these like very negative attributes on not being the societal definition of attractive. Right?
Well, and that's the thing is that it's almost like you can't be too pretty, but you can't be too ugly
100%.
Either. You have to be docile and submissive and modest and all these other things, where if you show off too much, you're seen as being a harlot and oversexed, and then when you get older, you're meaningless and nobody wants anything to do with you anymore.
Well, I think you're there's a threatening nature about beauty.
Yeah.
I feel like that a lot of men feel, they still feel that way.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like a lot of men feel very emasculated by a woman who knows her own beauty.
Yeah.
Right? Like, they want you to deny it. That happens to this
day. That's why there are so many songs that are like, she doesn't know she's beautiful.
Right, and that's what makes her beautiful, right? And
One Direction.
If you admit that you're beautiful, if a man were to say to you, there are a million TikTok stories of women sharing their personal experiences with this.
Yeah.
And I've never done it because I'm so entrenched in, like, our culture that right. I've always done the thing where I'm like, thank you. Like, yeah. I just have that reaction.
Instead of being like, I know.
Yes. But when you do that, when you say, like, I know, or like you own your own beauty.
Yeah.
It pisses people off.
Yeah. Like, because they want to be the one to make you realize your beauty and all right, that kind of stuff.
Because
too.
I think they find it threatening. I think that yeah. there's an element of feeling threatened by that, because if you don't know you're worth anything, then they can swoop in and treat you however they want to. And they can feel like they might be worthy of you because you don't know what you're worth.
Exactly.
Right. So I feel like a lot of this has to do with men's fear of that, you know?
For real. Yeah.
I read this awesome article, Smithsonian article, called Why So Many Mythological Monsters Are Female. It's really good. I took snippets out that I'm going to talk about now. It does focus primarily on, like, Greek mythology, because a lot of Greek mythology has really shaped Western culture in a lot of ways, but it's a very good read. I'll put it in the show notes if anybody wants to read it. So in that article, they write, ancient male authors inscribed their fear of and desire for women into tales about monstrous females. And Caraglau, who's a curator at the Met, wrote in a 2018 essay, quote, beauty, like monstrosity, enthralls, and female beauty in particular, was perceived, and to an extent is still perceived, to be both enchanting and dangerous, or even fatal. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that is exactly what we were just saying. Like,
yeah.
there is this fear of beauty, and there is also this fear of being tricked.
Yes.
That exists to this day.
Yes. And I mean, think about men that worry about being tricked into saying that they raped a woman when they didn't, and things like that. Like, all of these tropes continue to this day. They just evolved to a more modern story.
Right. I mean, and I feel like I think a lot about all of the men. Inevitably, there will be a man in a comment on a makeup page, right? Because I follow makeup pages on Instagram.
Yeah.
And there will be a woman just minding her own business doing her makeup, right?
Yeah.
Being featured on one of these pages. And makeup is for fun for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And some people like to wear a lot of makeup because it's fun.
Yeah.
And inevitably, there will be some bro in the comments who's like, better take her swimming on the first date. Always. Because there is just this deep fear about
that,
being tricked.
That
about
you're
this,
being catfished right. by some girl. She's not actually as beautiful
as you think she is.
Yeah.
And you're going to wake up next to an old hag
yeah.
in the morning. You know what I mean? And that's so spooky and terrifying, yeah. you know?
And then women have to uphold that too. It makes me think of the opening scene of Bridesmaids, or Kristen Wiig like gets up before John uh-huh. Hamm does to like get like a little bit of makeup on and
oh,
get a little
yeah.
bra on, and like, oh, I just woke up. What? And she looks like perfect, because the idea of a man seeing you just at your natural state is scary. You don't know how they're going to respond.
Well, and this is part of why it's scary.
Exactly.
Because throughout history, men have been entrenched in this idea that women are constantly trying to deceive you, like
yeah.
they're constantly trying to trick you,
yeah,
you know. And
honestly, these didn't really help. Like, as much as we love these stories have probably perpetuated the idea to a lot of men that women aren't to be trusted and they're scary.
100%. And
yeah.
I think that a lot of these stories were created with that in mind,
yeah,
you know. Like, that's kind of why I think the churl, I love the idea that women created it to protect women, but I wouldn't be surprised if men created it, because there is this undercurrent of deception there.
Yeah.
That I do think can be harmful. And one thing that I did like about that Smithsonian article is that there are people who have written books kind of deconstructing a lot of these myths
uh-huh.
And turning them on their head and saying, you know, like, maybe Medusa isn't a monster or a villain, like, because if she had any of these other attributes, like her power, her
uh-huh.
strength, in Greek mythology, if men have these same attributes,
they would be heroes.
Heroic, right?
Well, and that's the thing that I love, that we've got this new wave of stories being retold from the perspective of the villain. I mean, the first one that I can think of that really blew up was Wicked, where you suddenly see Dorothy as the villain and the witch is really the one who lost her sister and the shoes were all she had. And, you know, you start to feel sympathy and you understand why the witch behaved the way she did. And I think that that's a really interesting way that we're continuing now to kind of like turn those stories on their heads to be like, no, like they're not actually the villain. They're like this for a reason. And maybe they actually have good intentions behind what they're doing, you know? Right.
Or maybe they're so damaged by these like societies that they have grown up in that have been so repressive.
Yeah.
I mean, like the fact that Medusa, like, and her tale was kind of introduced to us as though she is this horrible villain when she was a rape victim.
Yeah.
You know, that a goddess put a curse on because she's like, well, can't do anything about Poseidon, but he raped you in my temple, so I'm going to punish you for the rest of eternity.
Yep.
You know,
because like, who's really punished in rape? It's the woman.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I do think it's very telling. I think we can learn a lot of things. And one thing I wrote down from this article was the tales of female monsters reveal more about the patriarchal constraints placed on womanhood than they do about the women themselves.
100%.
And I think that that's absolutely true of so many of these stories. And I loved this one as well. This was from a journalist, Jess Zimmerman. She also wrote a book called Women and Other Monsters, Building a New Mythology, or she was featured in that book.
Uh-huh.
And she said, female monsters represent the bedtime stories patriarchy tells itself, reinforcing expectations about women's bodies and behavior. And I think that that's...
Hits the nail on the head.
Hits the nail just right on the head. Yeah. I just found this to be so interesting. This entire topic to me was
totally
so fascinating, because it just goes to show you like the way that society looks at women has been the same for generations and it evolves and changes, but it's so deeply encoded and entrenched in us,
yeah,
you know, and we should reframe the way we look at these myths.
Yes, we should be framing them in the way that you and I see the churl and things like that, you know? And it's interesting because before we started recording tonight, I brought up a topic that I want to do next week. And I kind of want to mention it now because I do think that it kind of is leading into this topic for next week. We want to discuss the movie Teeth.
Yeah.
I know I've definitely mentioned this movie on the show before. I've seen it way too many times. If you're interested in watching the movie before we talk about it, I highly recommend doing so.
Trigger especially warning if you don't know what it's about.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Definitely like sexual Google assault synopsis. Warning.
Yes, things like that. But it is also about a beautiful, virginous woman getting her revenge, and it's badass, it's campy as fuck, it's horribly acted and written, but in a way that it's brilliant. Like it's
it's so good. It's a cult classic. I don't know if virginous is a word. I just wanted to say that.
Isn't it virginous?
Virginal?
Virgin? No, virginous is a word, isn't it?
I don't know.
It is now.
All right.
I'll say virginal. Virginal woman. But yes, we're gonna talk about that next week. And again, it's the embodiment of men's greatest fears coming to life.
I think doing that episode right after this episode is appropriate.
Yeah.
Because I think that she, the protagonist in that movie, is a modern day mythological woman, monster.
100%.
Quote unquote monster.
Totally.
Right? That like if you're putting it into the context of someone who maybe is punished at her hand.
Yeah.
She appears to be a monster. But if you look at it from a different perspective,
she's a beautiful woman.
Is she a hero?
Yeah.
Question mark?
Question mark?
You know, but yes, I think that that movie is a cult classic. It is cheesy.
So good.
It is weird. And I will say, definitely Google it before you watch it if you're unsure of what it's about.
Yes. Trigger warnings abound. But the one thing I have to say is like, I at least like it when there's an outcome to the trigger that makes it worth it. And I truly believe in this movie, once you see the revenge this woman gets after what happened to her, you're kind of like, all right.
You know what is another one that's kind of along the same vein? And what? I haven't seen it in a long time. And it is a hard watch as well. But Hard Candy. If you've never seen Hard Candy with Elliot Page.
I don't think I have.
It is very similar in that it is like it's a morality tale where, you know, you're like, okay, well, shouldn't have done that. You know what I mean? It's one of those vibes.
Okay. So. I have no idea what the movie is about, so I'm just going to take it off of what you said.
I don't want to talk too much about
you don't want to give it away.
I don't want to give it away. Yeah.
I understand. But I'm super excited to talk about that next week, especially after talking about all of this week. So if you haven't seen the movie, I highly recommend watching it before we listen. If you want to just go in cold and just listen to us, I'm sure we're going to have a lot of great things to say about it anyways. But yeah, I'm excited about this whole kind of spooky vibe we got going on this month.
You know, this is my favorite shit. Like,
same.
I love spooky season.
I love so much the meme you posted on your Instagram today. I was going to repost it to mine, but it was like the family members where it was like, The books I read, the movies I watch, the whatever, and then it's like all goth people, and then it's like me, and it's this like cute little kid dressed in like pastel colors, because like from the outside, you would never expect the darkness within.
No, 100%. I'm just like, I can look absolutely like normal on the outside, and I am listening to the most like terrifying shit in my headphones, like always.
Always.
And I will, at this time of year, almost 100% of the time be watching something scary.
I just finished
Midnight Mass.
I want to watch it so bad. I feel like we're going to have to talk about that too, I feel like.
And I will tell you this, it starts off slow because everybody says that they're like, oh, I stopped watching it because it was so slow. Yes, like the first two episodes, I will say slow. The last two episodes make it worth it for me.
Okay.
Personally.
Okay.
So
I think I'll have to watch it by myself because Max is not the biggest scary movie fan. You're my big scary movie person. Like, we used to always watch scary movies together. Yeah. So now it's like either I'm by myself or I have to like plan it ahead of time with Max. Like, well, let's watch it this time.
I don't think Midnight Mass is like scary, scary. Like, it has like jump scares.
He couldn't watch Haunting of Hill House.
Oh, well, then no.
He literally watched the first minute of it and was like, nope. No. In the daylight, we watched it and he was like, nope, can't do it.
He can't do it.
Nope. And I was like, oh my God, I'm such a baby.
Yeah. Okay. Well, in that case, yeah, no.
No. I'm going to watch it by myself. All right. Well, that's all we have for you today. Thank you so much for listening to another episode. If there's anything that you would like for us to talk about in the future, please go ahead and email us at neighborhoodfeminist@gmail.com or direct message us on Instagram at Angry Neighborhood Feminist. We have a Facebook business and group page. You can rate and review us on the business page and chat with the other listeners on the group page. Last but certainly not least, if you have not done so already, we greatly appreciate it if you would go and leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. It truly does help us so much, and we greatly appreciate it. All right, with all that being said, we encourage you to rage on. Bye!
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.